Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Robert Gilmore was born at the turn of the century, just before the turn of the century in Vermont. He ended up a family moving in a variety of places. At the age of 14, he left school, dropped out of school. He was actually a very ingenious little boy, but didn't have much education. Kind of worked his way through a variety of jobs, and then worked his way through, got married, had a few children. At the age of 40, he ended up gathering all of this information that he had had, skills he had, and started developing earth-moving equipment. And at the time, he was very revolutionary in that whole industry. He took and invented and developed the electric wheel. He had taken the rubber tire, which was new to the cars in that time period, and then eventually moved it into using in this big earth-moving equipment. And so that was parallel in his business life. He became very, very successful. And parallel to that, along with this, spiritually, he had grown up in a home that his parents were very godly. And at the same time that he ended up dropping out of school and stopped going to school, he also was moving away from the gospel that his parents gave to him. But then at 16, that two-year period, he was kind of wavering around. And at 16, he realized the gospel is true. I'm going to give him my life, which is what happened. So as the business began to grow and he moved in his life spiritually at the age of 30, he decided, I'm going to give my business to God. And then he realized that there were some giving, living principles that needed to apply to his business as a businessman. And so he decided that I'm going to give 10% of my profit to the Lord. So that's what he did. And his business kept growing. And then he said, I'm going to give 20%. And he gave 30%. I'm going to give 40%. And that's about the time in which his company, R.G. Letourneau, Inc., became very, very popular. It became the number one business in the world for large, heavy equipment and earth-moving equipment. He began getting contracts from the government to do Hoover Dam and multiple other activities. He decided, I'm going to give more. He realized, I cannot outgive God. He started giving 60%, 70%, 80% of his profit to the Lord. And he found that the more he ended up giving to God, God just kept blessing him. Eventually, he ended up turning over the business to part of his family and invested into education. He bought property and built buildings and had a board established. And as the university was established, they said, we want a nameless Letourneau College after you. It's interesting that here you are years later. The Letourneau College, it's a college that's well known for its technology and its advancement in education. It was a man that had not much education, but finally got to the place in his own life that he said, God, I just cannot outgive what you're giving to me, and applied basic giving, living principles to his life to where he was giving 90% of his wealth to the Lord's work. Because he realized that he had responsibilities that God had blessed him with that he could end up in turn using that to help others, or in essence give gifts or giving grace to other people. and is a powerful testimony in which it starts with what we were just hearing of us giving our life to God. Now, the question is, what are those giving living principles? These really are stewardship truths. We've talked about us being a steward because this area of money, and we're really kind of pulling together this whole topic of missions outreach and giving of ourselves. And you have to understand that in our economy today, it's not much different than it was in the life in which Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so when we say all this, I want you to understand, when we look at 2 Corinthians 8, I want to simply give to you these four giving living principles. Number one, notice, before I give any material possessions to God, he must first want me to give myself. That's what he says in verse 5, when he says that, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know what the will of God is? You giving yourself to the Lord. He's talking about Christians here. And therefore, if he's got you, he's got everything else with this. And the fact is that when we give ourselves to God, everything else comes with it. Point number two, notice if you would in verse 8, when he says from verse 5 to 8, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so we also would finish in you that same grace." So he introduced Titus as the one that was collecting this money. "Therefore," he says, "as you abound in everything, you see that you abound in this grace also." People of Corinth, I'm speak not by commandment. You're not doing this because you have to, he's saying. You get to, people of Corinth, but by occasion of the frowardness or the sincerity of others, that you would prove or you would test the sincerity of your own love. You know what Paul's saying? Point number two, second giving living principle, that the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is the expression of my love. Paul's saying, listen, that same level of love is going to be expressed with the same level of giving. Someone has wisely said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That's why Paul said, listen, the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is that expression of my love. Number three, he also makes comment in verse 9. He said it this way, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, you would be made rich." That's the incarnation. He says, Paul is addressing by Christ's own example that he gave to us. Number three, he says it this way, "I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich." You give what is right. Don't give what's left. Don't end up saying, well, you know, I got to meet all these needs right here, and then what's left, okay, God, this is yours. And that is never the Bible principle. Always a Bible principle. Proverbs, "I'm going to give my first fruits. God, I'm going to give this to you." Whatever that amount is. That leads us to closing here, number four. Fourth giving living principle. I need to learn to give today out of abundance or my supply to meet the needs of others, believing that tomorrow, if I have a need, God will use the abundance of others to meet my need. That's how it's meant to be. As I mentioned to you before, there's other churches and other cults that would end up requiring 23%. They'd check your checkbook to do it. That's not what's done, and I don't think that's what's scriptural. It's right. You have the freedom to be able to give, but realize that you can never outgive what God wants for your life. You say, well, man, if I end up keep giving, that's not a bad little way to end up. I'm going to give and God's going to give more. I'm going to give more money. God's going to give me more money. Boy, if that's your motive, come see me. Because that's not all what Paul's saying here. And it's all in the context, as I close, when he ends up making the statement about the procedures in this. He talks about the unnamed brother in verse 18 and talks about the churches traveling with us. And there was an integrity about all of this giving. And a testimony of these in verse 21. And we don't have time to walk through all the rest of this, but leave it in verse 24. It says, "Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Paul is saying, I'm boasting about you. Hey, you come up with it, please follow through with what you mentioned, because this is the proof of your love. And the church is not an organization. It's an organism with individual giving and a chance for us to be able to express what God says is the way he wants it to be done. And it's all in the context of 2 Corinthians 8, and he mentions about the churches. Hey, it's a good thing if you want to be able to give to individuals. It's a good thing if you want to be able to give to other organizations, but you've got to understand that the priority in which you're giving is in the context of churches. God said, I will bless that. Now, is there occasions that you end up having, you see different needs and giving individual needs? Absolutely. Now, there's organizations that are out there that are asking for money all the time. And I encourage all, listen, if you're going to give, you want to be able to know your money's being given to where it's going to be used and that you can directly see an impact. And that's why Paul says, I know where this is going and give it through churches. And ultimately, it does make a difference. Martin Luther made the statement, once said, quote, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. And you can't take it with you. You can send it on ahead. God's not concerned with the exact amount. If he was, he would never have said to that widow who dropped her little, smallest amount of coin that was manufactured or put out in its day into the money box in the Jewish temple. And he said, she gave way more than all of these high rollers that were tossing money into those 1 of 13 copper tubes. Then you'd throw that money in and that coin would literally make a zinging sound as it went down into that box. And the big high rollers were known as zingers because they would have real good about tossing their money so everybody could hear that sound as it went down into that love gift box. And here's this little widow. He was sitting watching all of this and said, you know what's really important? Your heart in what you're giving. You give cheerfully. You give willingly. God said, I'll bless you for that. And it's not just, again, for our own finances. It comes back to the premise, God, have I given myself to you? But when God knows I have you in your heart, then I have everything else with it. I've mentioned before, but C.T. Studd was a powerful missionary. And he was the very one that came from a very wealthy family. Actually, he was also a very good cricket player beyond that. But his father had passed away, and he had given C.T. Studd his inheritance. And C.T. Studd said, I want to live on slim apparatus. Or as he also used the term, I don't want my life to be cluttered up. And C.T. Studd decided to end up giving a third of it to the China Inland Missions for Hudson Taylor, and a third of it to William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and a third of it to D.L. Moody to start Moody Bible Institute. I actually gave it to go to India, and eventually that money ended up coming back to the Moody Bible Institute. Because he and his wife, when they were married, had just a little left beyond what they had given. He had given part of that to her when they got married. And her response was, the rich young ruler was asked to give his all. And so they sent that remaining money on to missions. Now, you say, does God want me to end up giving everything? I don't know. All I do know is I'm trying to bring all this to a close by saying, you just be faithful what God has prompted your heart to give.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.